Hallelujah. So if you've got a Bible, open it up. It's good to see some people visiting here this morning. I won't point you out, Len Turner. Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. Praise the Lord. Well, what is going on in the world? Serious. Jesus is coming back soon. My goodness. What idiot gets in a truck and drives over and kills 80 people? Who does that? Who does that? You know, I look at the news and think, I don't want to watch the news anymore. I'd rather ABC 22, you know, with the Peppa Pig and stuff, you know? And just kind of live in this kind of pretend it's not happening, you know? Peppa Pig, you know, splashing muddy puddles, you know? Because when I turn on ABC 24, all I see is global terrorism, economic uncertainty, political divisions. I mean, some person said recently about the United States, out of 350 million people, that's the only two that you could have chosen, you know, that we have to choose from, you know. And even in Australia, we can't work out who we want to govern the country. Now, I must apologise, because on holidays I went up to Canberra and I actually stood at Parliament House, and Joe and I prayed. This was just before the election, and we stood inside the Senate, right? So there's two sides of Parliament House, if you've ever been there. Two sides of Parliament House. I stood inside the Senate, and I prayed. And post the election, we now have Pauline Hanson, Darren Hinch, Jackie Lambie, and we have the Greens. We have an interesting Senate, so I just want to apologise, because I prayed there before the holidays, and look what happened. You know, I don't know what happened, but... Praise the Lord. Where is God in the midst of all this uncertainty? Where is God in the midst of all of this? And what does your faith look like when things are like that? You know, not to mention things that are happening globally, but things that are going on in your own life, in your own family, in your own finances, in your own work situation, even in the life of the church, things that are going on for you, and you think, Jesus, where are you in the midst of all of this? What does your faith look like in the midst of uncertainty? What does your faith look like? See, here's the thing. Here's what happens, right? We just check it. We check out, don't we? We turn over to ABC 22 or we watch, you know, I don't know, just soapies. You know, bring back Days of Our Lives. We need some good soapies, you know. We check out, don't we? We just, has anyone got a phone? I just want to just spend a moment, sorry. This is what we do, right? We turn off the news. We put the phone off the hook. And we just spend time checking out, yeah? Because it's easier if we just forget about what's going on around the globe. Is that it's easier if we just pretend it's not happening, right? So we just check out. Sorry, I'm just looking for Pokemon. Sorry, guys. That's all I wanted the phone for, just that gag. Thanks. You know, and if we just do the Pokemon thing, whatever, as fun as it is, you know, and we just pretend these things aren't happening. Yeah. And this is what happens for us. This is what happens for many of us. Our faith goes cold in the midst of uncertainty. Quite often it happens, right? Our faith grows cold. Now you can't, you know, you can't blame us, I guess, when you look around and you look around at the situation. It kind of makes sense. And I'm kind of praying on this over the last week or two and thinking about, God, what are you saying to us? Let me first start at John chapter 14. So the disciples most likely are in the upper room. Jesus has spent 3 years of ministry with his disciples. They're most likely in the upper room. And John records a conversation that is happening between Jesus and the disciples. The disciples have been listening to Jesus speak about his impending death. And he keeps talking about the fact that he's going to die and on the third day he's going to rise again. And the disciples are a little bit bewildered. They're a little bit perplexed about what is happening. They're actually a little bit despondent at this point. And Jesus is offering some words in verse 1 of John chapter 14. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Right? Jesus is beginning this conversation with the disciples. And I'll skip down to verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. Well, you think Jesus was talking to us today, right? Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, the scripture wants to point out to us, the other Judas, he says, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Nice place to stop it, right? Because verse 1 was, do not let your hearts be troubled. And then we have this whole passage. And then, do not let your hearts be troubled. Jesus promises to send another advocate. And that word for advocate is parakletos. Yeah? Paraclete. Does anyone know what paraclete means? It translated here as advocate. It also means comforter and counselor. Jesus says to the disciples, I'm going to send another advocate. I'm going to send a comforter, a counselor, the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Yeah? God has sent the Holy Spirit as an advocate, someone to speak on our behalf, someone to teach us, someone to challenge us and inspire us. But I love the fact that Jesus says to his disciples, I'm going to send another advocate because I've been the one advocating for you while I've been in ministry with you the last 3 years. Yeah? I'm going to send another advocate because I've been the one who's been comforting you, counseling you, helping you, teaching you. And when I leave, I'm going to send another one, a Holy Spirit. You know, in these times of uncertainty, we need the Holy Spirit to come and comfort us and counsel us and speak to us in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So this word, parakletos, it's kind of like someone coming alongside you. Like a parachute, right? The word para, yeah? Parachute, you have this chute and it's alongside you, it's attached to you, right? And if you don't have that parachute on, and you jump out that plane, yeah, let's not go there. But you understand, parachute, you don't let go of the parachute. I saw a video of an older lady who was slipping out of the parachute while she's descending. And one of those viral videos, you know, I don't spend my time watching those. But, you know, she's falling out of this parachute. And who knows, if you wear a parachute, you keep it on, right? Parakletos, paraclete, the Holy Spirit is alongside of us. When I was doing university, at one point, I was really struggling through Melbourne Uni. Right? I'd been ducks of my high school, and I went from the western suburbs, ducks of my high school, to Melbourne University. I went from the smartest kid in Werribee, or maybe, you know, I don't know about the other schools, but I'll probably beat them. Smartest kid in Werribee to the lowest of the low in the University of Melbourne. Right? I had this transition, and I got to a few semesters and I passed and I did okay, but then it just started to get too hard. And at one point my mum and dad said, right, we know that you're going to change courses soon and go into a Bachelor of Business at Victoria University, but we're just going to give you a mentor to come alongside you over the next semester just to help you to get through your subject, right? So I'm sitting in the library at the University of Melbourne with a mentor who's helping me through some of the mathematics and the science and the physics and the geometry and all of that, and helping me and teaching me and kind of showing me things as I'm studying, yeah? And at the end of the semester, I got 54% in this subject, yeah? And I needed 50% to pass. And I know I did it without the mentor, but no. The mentor got me over the line, helped me, supported me. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us to support us and encourage us. Praise the Lord. Let me read something from Luke chapter 3, verse 16. You think John 3:16 is good? Have a listen to Luke 3:16. John answered them all. John the Baptist, he says, I baptize you with water. But one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Why does he say that? He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Oh, I love this. The word baptize means to immerse, right? Don't get hung up on the word baptize. It just means to immerse. We don't in the Salvation Army immerse people in water and do that as a ritual. I'm not against that. We just don't do it. What matters in the Salvation Army is that we baptize people in the Holy Spirit and fire. We immerse people. You've got to be immersed in God. In a world of uncertainty, right? We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. So the word baptize, tell the person next to you, the word baptize means immerse. Tell them. The word baptize means immerse. Speak it out so you remember it. To immerse. Right? When you are immersed in the Holy Spirit, you are changed. Hallelujah. So, John the Baptist says, there is someone coming who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. Right? Not just the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit and fire. We talk in the Salvation Army about blood and fire. We talk about the blood of Jesus. We talk about the fire of the Holy Spirit. In fact, William Booth spoke about it. He wrote letters. At one point, he spoke to a bunch of nuns, and he said to them, you know what we need? We need a good baptism in the Holy Ghost. That's what we need. We need the Holy Spirit and fire. Come on, church, you hear what I'm saying? We need the Holy Spirit and fire. In Jesus' name. And the fire of God does two things. The fire of God cleanses us from sin. It purifies us. The blood of Jesus and the fire of the Holy Spirit. There's something about the fire that purifies us. Kind of grabs a hold of the sin in our life and cleanses us in Jesus' name. We need the fire of the Holy Spirit to purify us. And we need the fire of the Lord, fire of God, in order that we would be passionate about the faith that we profess. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We need the fire of God. Because without it, we're just coasting through life. See, here's the thing. Picture all the things that are going on in the world. Predominantly the things that make us feel despondent and make us feel down. I feel the Lord saying that in the midst of all of that, you need to stoke up the fire. Yeah? So while we're on holidays, we're in Canberra, and it's cold in Canberra. It doesn't have as much wind chill around, but it's still freezing, and you know, you just put your mince and your chicken out on the grass. Like, you don't need a freezer. You just save money on power, you know. You just put it out in the grass and it keeps it, you know. And we're in Canberra, and at one point we said, let's do an open fire. So we're out in a little courtyard of a friend of ours, and she's got a little fire pit. And we decided we're going to create a little fire. Now, I've created a few little fires in my life, and that was I'm talking literally about fires, not metaphor for creating, stirring up trouble. So creating a fire, we're putting the wood there, the big pieces of wood, and if you're starting a fire, you know that you need kindling. Yeah, everyone say kindling. That's good, because I can't say it. Thanks for doing it. Now, we need kindling, so little pieces of wood. And so we're setting up this this fire, and a friend of ours has a bag full of marshmallows. All right, so we know that if we get this fire going, we've got marshmallows ready to go. So we set this fire up, and we get it working. We light a match, and we get some paper rolled up, and we light this fire up. Who knows that over, you know, a few minutes go by, if you don't do anything to the fire, what happens? The fire dissipates, yeah? When we follow Jesus, at some point, we're on fire for the Lord. And if we don't do anything in our journey of faith with God, the fire goes out. In the midst of all that goes on in this world, what happens is Christians forget to stoke up the fire. And what happens is they don't mean to, but in the Western world, we just get distracted by Pokemons, right? We just get distracted by other things, right? We don't mean to lose the fire, but we just get, oh, look, a bird. Oh, isn't that amazing? Oh, look at that over there. And we lose the fire. But God is saying to us, in Jesus' name, stoke up the fire. Don't let the circumstances around you cause you to lose the passion that you have in Jesus' name. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me read something from Leviticus chapter 6. It's in the Old Testament. And it's the people of Israel. And God's speaking to the people of Israel. And he's speaking to the priests and telling them a commandment. In Leviticus 6, verse 8. The Lord said to Moses, give Aaron, and that's Moses' brother, give Aaron and his sons this command. These are the regulations for the burnt offering. The burnt offering is to remain on the altar throughout the night till morning, and the fire must be kept burning on the altar. The priest shall then put on his linen clothes with linen undergarments next to his body and shall remove the ashes of the burnt offerings that the fire has consumed on the altar and place them beside the altar. Then he is to take off these clothes and put on others and carry the ashes outside the camp to a place that is ceremonially clean. Then he says this, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning, the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. We've got to stoke up the fire. Yeah, we've got to stoke up the fire. Let me say it again, right? When you look around and you're struggling through different things and it's pain and it's hurt and it's loss and it's all of these things, when you look at what's going on, God wants you to stoke up the fire in the midst of that situation. Yeah? Come on, praise the Lord. If you don't do anything to add firewood to your own journey of faith, then you're not going to grow in the Lord. In fact, what will happen is your faith will just dissipate. Your faith will just die out until you lose your salvation. And in the Salvation Army, folks, we believe that. We believe you can lose your salvation in Jesus. We don't believe that you can come here, kneel, and give your life to Jesus, then go do whatever you want to do. Because we believe that you can lose your salvation. And let me tell you, folks, I've seen it. I've seen people who have been on fire for the Lord. Something challenging has come around and they've just let their fire die out. But it's time as the people of God to add firewood to the fire. Come on. Praise the Lord. It's time to add fire to the fire, firewood to the fire. We need to spend time reading the Word. Add firewood to the fire. It's time to spend time in prayer, add firewood to the fire. It's time to encourage someone in their faith. Add firewood to the fire. It's time to lead someone to Jesus. Let me go on this one for a moment, right? General John Gowans, he's now promoted to glory. He once said that the mission of the Salvation Army is to save souls, grow saints, and serve suffering humanity. Right? Save souls, grow saints, serve suffering humanity. And someone says, And I've heard it before, but we don't save souls. We don't save souls. And then they spend the next half an hour theologically justifying why we don't save souls. Yet Paul said, I become like this person over here in order that I might win some, in order that I might save some, right? Paul was okay in talking about it. And what happens is we theologically try to justify that we aren't on about saving souls. And you know why we do that? We do that in order to justify the fact that we haven't led anyone to Jesus since Mary was born, yeah? And what happens is we change our theology and we say, we're not about saving souls. We're on about just, you know, giving people a cup of cold water. And the reason we do that is because we haven't ever learned how to lead someone to Jesus. And therefore, we try to say that we're not about saving souls. Well, let me tell you, we are a salvation army, folks. We're about leading people to Jesus, yeah? We are about leading people to Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. William Booth once said, I don't want another ecclesiastical corps cumbering the earth. When the Salvation Army ceases to be a militant body of red-hot men and women whose business is the saving of souls, I hope it vanishes utterly. Come on. This is what we're about. Add firewood to the fire. If you haven't led anyone to Jesus in the last 12 months, do it. If you haven't, get on your knees and pray. Come on, this church should be double this size. All we're going to do is lead one person to Jesus. And all you've got to do is get on your knees and pray. And then you've got to speak to someone. Yeah? Come on. It's not just the minister's job to lead someone to Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. It's time to stoke up the fire. Come on, it's time to stoke up the fire. It's time to say, God, right now, in the midst of all that's going on in this world, in the midst of all that's going on in my life, I'm going to stoke up the fire in Jesus' name. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, the devil wants me to give you some deep theological... I'm not here to give you some deep theological message. I'm just telling you to fire up in Jesus' name. Someone say amen to that. Come on. We need an army that's alive. We need an army that's willing to praise the Lord in the midst of difficult circumstances in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit and fire is what you need. The Holy Spirit and fire. Praise the Lord. Do not let your hearts be troubled. In the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of difficult situations, pray for the sick. Help serve in the local church. Be hospitable. Forgive someone who's hurt you. Give generously. Read the word. Spend time in prayer. Lastly, there's that fire. And you've got wood, you've got kindling, you've got little bits of paper, you know, and you set that fire. And you know why you set it up like a teepee? In order that the oxygen would come underneath the fire, right? Because a fire needs some sort of oxygen in order to, you know these things. The fire needs oxygen. And our faith needs oxygen, needs the breath of God to come upon it. We need God to breathe into our situation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 12:29 says, our God is a consuming fire. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you want to stand to your feet for a moment. We're just going to pray. And there might be a song there. The piano sounds terrible this morning. So is there a song you can put in the background for us, John? Thanks. Why don't you just close your eyes for a moment, hey? Bow your heads. Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just want to pray for each and every person that's gathered here in this place today. Father, I believe that you're giving us a word that it's time to stoke up the fire. It's time to not just be despondent or go through the motions or get distracted by secular society. It's time to stoke up the fire. Hallelujah. So Father, come and breathe your Holy Spirit upon us in this place today. God, I pray that you'd come and touch some people's lives in this place. Father, we're not here for entertainment. We're not here for perfectionism. We're just here to encounter you this morning. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, there would be some people right now just say, God, I want to stoke up the fire. Maybe picture that a little fire. Maybe it's a little fire pit outside on the grass, or maybe it's inside. You can remember a little open fire maybe growing up, and you can picture that. And you can picture maybe your father or someone putting wood on the fire, and or maybe you went on a camp once and you can remember a campfire that you sat around. What does your faith look like? Is that fire raging, or is it a fire that's about to go out? Or is it a fire that's already gone out? Whatever it is, just pray to the Lord and say, God, I want to stoke up that fire. I want to stoke up that fire in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. I'm going to invite you this morning. We don't have the buzz of the band or anything like that. If you want to say, God, right now, in this place, in this moment, I want you to stoke up the fire inside of me. In Jesus' name, that you might do a new thing inside of me, that you might take me to another level, that I might not get so distracted by the things of the world, but be on fire for you, Lord. There's nothing the enemy is going to do that's going to hold me back from fixing my eyes upon you. God, I want to stoke up the fire in Jesus' name. Come on, church. I want to stoke up the fire in Jesus' name and go from strength to strength. I want my relationship with God to be on fire for the Lord in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If that's you and you want to make that prayer, I'm just going to ask you, come stand here right now this morning in the middle right now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Say, God, stoke up the fire inside of me. Stoke up the fire in Jesus' name. Come on. Because you can't wait for the world to give you good feelings about things, right? You can't wait on the world for the world to give you nice little feelings inside your heart. You need to find a place deep within God that in the midst of your circumstances, good or bad, that you have that strong relationship with Jesus that will get you through every single situation in Jesus' name. See, some of us are waiting for the world to affirm our faith in God, but the world is never going to affirm your faith in God. You need to find that affirmation from the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. You need to find a deep place in God to find the affirmation that you require for your relationship with the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? You're never going to get that from the world. You need to find a deep place of intimacy with God and stoke up that fire. Oh, we stand against the enemy that has sought to tear down our faith. Father, forgive us for the decisions we have made that have caused us to drift. Father, forgive us in Jesus' name. Forgive me, Lord. At times I make decisions that cause me to drift and cause the fire to dissipate. Jesus, forgive us. Jesus, forgive us as a church that we've forgotten. We've forgotten to keep the main thing the main thing. Forgive us, Jesus. Forgive us, Lord. Help us make the saving of souls, the transforming of lives, our priority in this place. Father, in our own life right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, stoke it up. Come and breathe your Holy Spirit. Oh, right now, Holy Spirit, just come and stoke up that fire inside of us. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Breathe in the fire of the Holy Spirit. Breathe it in. Breathe in the presence of God. Breathe in the presence of God. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Breath of God, come. In Jesus' name. Let me finish with a couple of words. Just stay where you are and keep praying. The fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning, add firewood on the fire. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. Jesus will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. And for that, Father, we say, Amen.